This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08 and this is the evening edition with Sharmila. So the SPM 2020 results were released yesterday, and of course, along with it, a whole host of emotions, celebration for some, anxiety for others. And of course, this is coming on the wake of a particularly difficult year for all of those sitting for the exam as well. So this year, there's been a movement of sorts on social media to look beyond those results themselves and to focus on how your exam results, those SPM results, may not necessarily be the be-all and end-all of being quote-unquote successful later in life. So just for a some context, about 40,000 students sat for SPM 2020 in February. And this is coming after almost a full year of home-based learning, as well as postponements of exams, having to study virtually, all sorts of challenges, really. And the results came out yesterday. And for the first time in history, they were announced virtually. So as a result of all of this, there's been a lot of conversation online about the pressures that our students have been under, not just during the exams, but as they receive their results. So this rather interesting movement, I think, took place. As far as we can tell, it started with a particular Twitter account, Lumrah Lanyard, which is a satirical workplace comic. And they posted a tweet that said, with SPM results coming out today, can we share stories of how not doing so well in your exams doesn't mean it's game over in life? So as of now, there are nearly 2,000 replies to that tweet. There are lots of stories from people sharing how they may not necessarily have done so well in their SPM. However, they went on to do pretty well in life, really, doing things that they enjoyed, doing things that brought them a lot of fulfillment, doing things that brought them success. Many also shared how, you know, while they may have gotten straight A's, that didn't necessarily dictate that they would have the easiest path or the smoothest path moving forward. So this is this is something that resonated with me quite a bit as well, because back in school, particularly in secondary school, I wasn't necessarily the most academically achieving student, if I may, to put it mildly. I think I wasn't very interested in studies. I found it very difficult to engage with the way the lessons were delivered. The only thing that I was really good at was actually English. So I got 3 A's for my SPM. One of them was for English literature. So really, English and English literature and maths. And, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't qualify for scholarships. I didn't necessarily think that I was going to be able to do much more after that, that was going to be impressive. But where the switch became was when I went to college and I realized that I was starting to study things that I really enjoyed. I did media studies. I did mass communications. And from then on, I got scholarships. I got to attend programs that I really wanted to. And I think I'm in a job that I really enjoy. So I feel like I identify with so many of the tweets and stories that have been coming out. And every year when I speak to SPM students or I hear from students who have been demoralized by their studies, the only thing I can think to tell them is that your SPM results may not necessarily be an indicator of what is to come. They are one indicator. They are a gateway to something. They, of course, help you with university applications, but there are many other ways to define how you would be successful. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Shortly, we're going to be speaking to someone who responded to one of those tweets, Dr. Chen Pelfnyok, who is co-founder of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. And she'll be sharing her own experiences with her SPM exams, as well as what came after. But we want to hear from you. Do you remember what your SPM results were? And did they end up affecting your life in a major way? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila. And today we're talking about SPM results and specifically how big an impact SPM results have on the rest of your life. This is coming on the wake of an online movement, really, that has had people sharing their own courses in life after their SPM and how big an impact they had. This is, of course, because the SPM results came out yesterday. So we'd like to hear from you. Share your experiences with us. Do you remember your SPM results and whether they affected your life in a major way? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Dr. Chen Pelf Nyok, who is co-founder of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. Dr. Pelf, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sharmila. Thank you for having me today.
Let's start by taking a little trip back in time. What were you like as a student in secondary school?
I would like to think that I was a good student. Well, meaning I attended classes. I didn't skip school intentionally unless I was unwell. I tried to do my homework unless I didn't know how to. Yeah, but generally, I think I was an okay student.
So what do you remember of Form 5, as well as that whole process of taking the SPM? Was it important for you at that time?
Yeah, to me, that was very important because coming from a single parent family, I knew from a young age that I wouldn't be able to afford private education. So if I wanted to go to university, the only university I could get into was the public ones. So that was quite a big deal for me, you know, like 20 plus years ago. Yeah.
And did that sort of put a certain kind of pressure on you at that age?
Oh, yes, definitely. And of course, it didn't help that I was in the first class in school. And in my class, there were a lot of really other very smart students. So imposter syndrome, lah. So when I started to compare myself and with them, I was like, oh my God, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, so and the whole experience was, thinking back now, looking back, I was terrified. I was terrified most of the time. What happens if I don't get this? What happens if I don't get that? Yeah, these things was, you know, kept playing in my head.
So how did you feel when you received your results?
I was heartbroken. I had 2 A's. Mm-hmm. And two A's 20 plus years ago was really bad. Like when you have a whole class of students with 8, 9, and 10 A's, my 2 A's were, something we don't talk about. Yeah, and I was heartbroken, but then at the same time also sort of expected it because I said I was a good student. I didn't say I was a smart student. Yeah.
And what was the reaction from the people around you, your family, for instance?
Oh, well, if my mom was disappointed, she totally did not show it. But I was also disappointed at myself, lah, because I thought, you know what, this was one chance that I needed to score and to get into a public university, and I just did so badly. So, but then I didn't really get a bad feedback from my family, though. They were pretty supportive, lah, so truly thankful for that.
So on that note of making it to university, right, how did your results affect the plans that you had for yourself, or what you wanted to do after secondary school?
Also, I had always wanted to be a reporter. and then for some reasons, I took some science subjects in school. And then with such terrible results back then, the 2 A's, I was lucky to be able to secure a spot in Form 6. So I did my STPM. Also didn't do very well because, you know, not a smart student to begin with. But then I guess that was okay enough to secure myself a place in a public university in Terengganu. So when I received the phone call to come to Terengganu to study marine biology, I cried. I cried for days. Because that wasn't what I wanted to study at all. I wanted to do food science, you know. Apart from being a reporter, I wanted to do food science. But then because we couldn't afford a private education, I went to Terengganu anyway. So here I am.
So Talk to us about that path, because obviously it wasn't a path that you had planned for yourself. How did you end up essentially where you are now?
No, that was totally not planned for. But because I had no choice, so I went to Terengganu to do my degree, my bachelor's degree. And then one thing led to another. From a bachelor's degree, I stayed on in the university upon graduation to do my master's research project. And then that led to other things, for example, a CIMB scholarship that enabled me to do a PhD from UKM. So, yeah, even though that wasn't planned, but I think what the most important point here is that the skills that we pick up from university in our undergraduate life, those skills are actually more important than what's on our SPM certificate.
What about this aspect of doing something that you didn't necessarily want to do? At what point did you find a passion or a drive to do what you do now?
Yeah, so I went to Terengganu. I started doing marine biology, and at the back of my head, I said, never mind, you know what, sabar aja lah. Just do the one semester, and then the next semester, request for a change, you know, to switch to food science course. But then after one semester, I realized that what I was doing was really interesting. Marine biology was pretty new 20 years ago. So the courses that we were taking, they were all really new and eye-opening and fresh and interesting. So then I decided not to switch to food science. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that whatever courses we are given, go first. Go with an open heart, check it out and see what is in store. But after doing it for one semester or 1 year, if you think it's not what you want to do, you hate it, you don't want to wake up and go to classes every day, then think about plan B. But don't just, you know, think about, oh my God, it's the end of the world, without even trying it out first.
You talked about the pressure and that feeling of, oh, I only got 2 A's even back then.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
do you feel about those pressures that continue to be placed on SPM students and the results today?
Yeah, I can't really say which sides I'm standing on, because on one hand, I don't quite agree with the pressure that is put on students these days that you must excel, you must get a string of, you know, A+, you know, in order to secure a place in the university and get a dream job. But on the other hand, I also agree that there must be some kind of assessment, you know, so to assess us as a student, to determine whether we are good enough to take certain subjects. Because, for example, if I fail my accounts, let's say, if I fail my accounts exam, then I am not the best, well, I'm not suited to do accountancy, right? So I'm not taking sides here, but on one hand, I think it's the pressure is too big. But on the other hand, I feel that we need some kind of assessments as well. Cannot, like, you know, do away with the exams.
Well, what do you think also about this this movement that has started this year, people sharing their SPM experiences on social media, particularly with the view of showing that your results aren't the be-all and end-all of everything? How do you think it might help those who are sitting for the exam or who have gotten their results?
Well, I think that movement that started on Twitter, I think it was brilliant. I mean, 20 plus years ago, we didn't have these resources. I didn't even have a handphone 20 plus years ago, right? So when I received my SPM results, this result slip in my hand, there was nobody I could talk to, you know, just cry and cry and cry. But 20 years later, today, we have this platform, this avenue for us to read about other people's experiences, see how they overcome their challenges, true stories, you know. You listen from people who, like me, didn't do very well in my SPM, but still, you know, found my passion, found a job, created my job that I'm doing now. And I really think that it is a good platform for SPM leavers or students sitting for SPM to open their eyes to bigger things. Because you know what? Once you get a university degree, I don't think anybody asks for your SPM certificate anymore. But even in my position today, when I take on interns in our society, in the work that we do, I don't even look at the student's transcript. Because what is more important is what people call the soft skills, which I call the critical skills, you know, to be able to work independently and in a team, to be able to communicate your ideas, to articulate it, to negotiate things. I think these are skills that are more important.
Dr. Pelf, what message would you like to leave for SPM students who perhaps didn't do as well as they'd hoped to this year?
I would say don't beat yourself up over it. We all have those times when we feel we did so terribly. But you wake up tomorrow and the sun still shines, right? So grieve it if you need to, but don't beat yourself up over it, lah. You know, there are so many more tests in life. Just do better next time. There will be other chances.
Dr. Pelf, thanks for joining us today. Yeah.
Thank you, Sharmila.
That was Dr. Chen Pelf Nyok, co-founder of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia, sharing her experiences with both her XPM results as well as what came after. And this is really coming on the wake of a lot of people on Twitter and other social media sharing their SPM experiences and how not getting the best results may not be isn't the end of the road and that there are many things you can go on to do. So we'd love to hear from you. Do you remember what your SPM results were? And did they end up affecting your life in a major way? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are already getting so many messages, so keep them coming. But first, here is Green Day with Time of Your Life. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.